It's interesting. As we think about our life and we think about our one word, time, we're addicted. So we're dedicated. We are addicted, dedicated, and directed by time. We wear watches on our wrist, and if the pastor gets a little too long, they point to the watch. We have calendars. Whether it's on the wall, or it's a calendar we open, or if it's on our phone, we have been places where we have to go, doctor's appointments. It's interesting that Mayo Clinic, when they first started their time for appointments, said that you had to be there 15 minutes before your scheduled time. Mm-hmm. Now they tell you arrive by such and such time, and that's still 15 minutes before your appointed time. But we are always driven by time. When Will Rogers was asked, if you had only 48 hours to live, what would you do? He responded, I'd take an hour by an hour. What would we do if we had 48 hours to live? If we knew we had 48 hours to live, we would probably take that time hour by hour, or maybe minute by minute, or second by second. I want you to think about time this morning. And I want you to think about our gracious God who gives us time, because we are living in God's grace of time. So often, when people write obituaries, do you read obituaries? Mm-hmm. And you come down to the paragraph where it says, so-and-so is survived by so-and-so. Mm-hmm. I had a pastor friend who is now living with the Lord, and he said, you know, Scott, I hate that. And I've been trying to get the funeral directors to put in this phrase, those living in God's grace of time are. I said, oh, that's neat. So anytime I had a funeral and I was asked to read the obituaries, I would come down to that portion and I would say, those living in God's grace of time are. Because that's what we are. We're living in God's grace of time. And by God's grace of time, we're living in this cruel world. This world is terrible. We hear about all these killings that happen, school shootings. We hear about murder-suicide. We hear about all these things that are happening. And we want to say, God sent your son now. But God wants us to live in his grace of time. And he wants us to live in this cruel world that we live in so that we will be his witnesses. So that we will be able to tell others that they're living in God's grace of time. Be patient. Be comfortable. And live in God's love. God's love is brought to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, whenever I read during Advent, I read about God sending servants and God telling people by angels that things are going to happen. Like Mary. She in time was going to bring forth a child, a male child, and that male would be named Jesus. An angel tells Joseph the same thing, that in God's time, Mary will deliver a baby, and you will name him Jesus. God sends an angel to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you are going to bear a child, and that child's name will be John the Baptist. It is utterly amazing how God works in his time to bring his love into the world. And then, you know, we don't hear anything about Jesus from the age 12 until he begins his earthly ministry at age 30. Some people begin to wonder about that time what Christ is doing. God doesn't tell us anything about that time because we don't need to know. All we need to know is that Jesus was born, Jesus had a mission, and that mission was to live, suffer, die, and rise again for God's children in that time, that gracious time. And so God comes to us in our time, and he says, you need my grace. You need my love. You need Jesus in your life. When I was growing up, my parents brought me to God's house, had services. I would be in Sunday school. And Sunday school would be right after the church service. And when we were done, the grown-ups were still having coffee. So there was a basketball hoop in this gym where the parents were having coffee. So we'd go and shoot hoops and wait and wait and wait till the parents were ready to go home. But it really interested me about the pastor of that church, my pastor. It was interesting how God worked through him and gave me the inclination to be a pastor as well. I would watch him, and he would be very concerned with grown-ups and children alike. And it was very interesting how God sent this individual into my life at that time. Because I was really not that attuned to God being in my life. But he showed me in his time what God can do and how God can reach all of us. And so John was Jesus' light in the world. John was that light to bear witness to the light of Jesus Christ. And when my mother was not too happy that I got married to a Lutheran, and she was not too happy when I became a pastor, but when John came back to the church and Mom told John that I was a pastor in the Lutheran Church of Missouri, Senate, he says, you know, Benny, if I wasn't an Episcopal chaplain, I'd be a pastor in Missouri Synod. You know, it's amazing when I look back on that God sent John in his time to say that to my mother. God uses us in his time to share Christ's love, to share Christ's sacrifice, to share Christ's forgiveness, to share Christ's word of eternal life, because all lives need the love of Jesus Christ. All lives. And I'm saying that because there are people that you know that don't know Jesus. There are people that you know that don't go to church. There are people that you do not know, or you do know, that don't have the love of Christ in their hearts and their lives. And God is using you in his time, because God's going to set it up. God said,
something up for me in International Falls. After my dad died, my mother was going through all this stuff, and she said, you could have the snowblower. I said, okay. I went back and I got the snowblower. Because in International Falls, you have to use a snowblower quite a bit of time, you know. And it was interesting how that snowblower would break down. And I would have to fix it. And they called it a key. It's about a 3-4 inch piece that you put in between something underneath in the engine. I don't know what it is. I just knew that it broke. I knew that where it needed to be fixed and it would run again. Well, God sent me to talk to a man. His son played hockey. My son played hockey. They had hockey practice together. So I was able to talk to Bob. His mother was a shut-in of mine. So that gave me a connection. And so I would be standing next to Bob, and we would talk snowblowers. Of all the things, we'd talk snowblowers because we had the same snowblower and we had the same problem happen. So it was interesting how God had sent me to talk to Bob, because Bob needed Jesus. Bob had been a member of St. Paul Lutheran Church in International Falls, but he fell away from church and God because his wife committed suicide, and he blamed God. So I was able to stand next to Bob and talk to him about Jesus. Very subtly, I talked to him about Jesus because I talked to him about his mom first, and then the snowblower, and then I talked to him about Jesus. I was this close to getting him to come back to church. And then God called me someplace else, Mapleton, Iowa. So I left there. Bob had another tragedy that happened, and I can only think of Bob's reaction. And I kept praying for him. I don't know if he went back to church, but he was getting there. He was hearing the message. He was hearing about Jesus. God sends us to people at the right time. Gary Deese always says that. He says, you know, Pastor, God sends us to the right time, the right place, and the right people. So, because I'm a retiree and I've got one of those IRAs, I had to make what they call a RMD, required minimum distribution. Mm-hmm. And so I got the check and I sent it off to Gary. And Gary calls me and he says, you know, Pastor, you know what came in the mail today? I said, I can only think, Gary. And he said, your check came. And it blew me away. Gary, you say that all the time. But he said, thank you, Pastor, because you know something? With your permission, I sent Gary the check and I said, Gary, you spend it where you need it. Mm-hmm. He asked my permission to split the check up in three ways because he had three missionaries there at Mission Central that week, and they were struggling to pay for their travels to where they were going. And one was going someplace near Russia, and I don't remember the other two where they were going. I said, Gary, place, you give it to them. And so we got a message back from Gary. See, Gary always talks about being in the right place at the right time with the right words, and he will use you. Because you know something? This great God of ours gives you, out of his grace and his mercy,
He gives you 86,400 seconds to use every day of your life. Now, it doesn't go till the next day. It ends at midnight. But the next day, he gives you 86,400 seconds to be used. And he gives you grace to use them. He gives you permission to use them. He gives you ways to use them. And he blesses each and every way those seconds are used. I thank God every day for what he has given me, what he has blessed me with. A wife who loves me even when I fail. Children who I would love to tell them about life. They've heard it before in confirmation class. 7 grandchildren that I've been blessed with, to live with in that time, to be reminded of 86,400 seconds that God gives me to use in my life. May God grant you a mission. May God grant you his blessing. May God grant you 86,400 seconds to use each and every day of your life. In Christ's holy name, amen.